हेलो, गुड आफ्टरनून, गुड मॉर्निंग, गुड इवनिंग एवरीवन. व्हेनेवर यू आर लिसनिंग दिस पॉडकास्ट टुडे, वी हैव टीम परिवर्तन विद अस. दे आर अ स्टूडेंट रन बॉडी फ्रॉम पिल्लाजोशी कॉलेज ऑफ आर्किटेक्चर, एंड दे हैव बीन डूइंग सम रियली इंटरेस्टिंग प्रोजेक्ट्स. सो वी हैव अनुरूप एंड रोहन फ्रॉम देयर साइड. सो लेट्स डिस्कस व्हाट टीम परिवर्तन एग्जैक्टली इज. कैन यू गिव अस अ बेसिक इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट व्हाट टीम परिवर्तन इज?
So team Parivartan basically is a collective of students. Basically, we all are architecture students, and what we do is we look at the spaces around us, tribal settlements or rural areas, and then we try and solve their problems architecturally through design.
Okay, so it is basically kind of a search and do type of job wherein you have to spot different sites for work and work with the people around them. So can you guys let us know what exactly goes behind the screen when you want to find a particular site? How do you guys exactly approach that problem?
So what we do is we are very organic in terms of selection of sites and projects. When we select a project, we first think about the scale of the project, and we have to think practically when we do it, because we have a lot of responsibility that comes on us when we take a project. So we have to think about the scale of the project, whether or not it is possible for a team like us to do it, and what kind of impact it will have, who is benefiting from the project, and in the end what we are finally learning from the project is what we look at. And then there are other factors as well, which includes the time span, the financial factors, and availability of the resource.
So basically you are running let's say a small corporation type of thing or small firm type of thing from your college, wherein you are encouraging all your juniors and your colleagues to join you. They get a hands-on experience on our site. So how do you think it is different from any sort of internship?
Anurup, can you take that?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we started this organization, Parivartan, basically because we thought we weren't getting enough exposure from college, okay? So, and there's a limitation what the college and the academics can teach us, and it's for a field like architecture, it's really important for us to go there, go to the site, feel the site and understand the site, and then start working for it. It's when it comes to academics, it feels like you're dealing with the surrounding very artificially. You get it what I mean? Like when you're in site, you understand the site. It's a very natural process of your thinking, how you deal with everything around the situation, the community that's around. Then you get to know how to deal with specific problems which are very specific to that site. It won't be a general problem.
So now, as you said, like going to site and all, did this just start like as a part of curriculum, as a part of your assignments, or was it, you know, like a group of friends coming together and they have this common vision where they feel that just books and classrooms are not enough and we need to, you know, like start implementing and practicing things as soon as possible? Like, I just want you to, you know, take us back to how it all started.
Yeah, I think Rohan can take that well.
So we being architecture students, you know, we learn a lot about community, sustainability, public spaces. We are always taught about how to deal with such situations and contexts, how to design for such places. But we were noticing that it was all just talk. We weren't really implementing it into our day-to-day lives. Also, we weren't getting exposed to such situation, which I think was the need of the hour. So I, along with some of my friends, we created a small module.
So what I get from Anurup's answer about the difference between a normal student working for internship through a firm and joining you guys would be that a student, I guess, gets the complete process from going and working and finding out what the exact location is to, I mean, going ahead with the steps of designing and things like that. Am I right?
Yes, it's also important for us to understand that the firms and the thing work we are doing right now, it's completely different. And for a student who is pursuing architecture, both of the things are like really important. So internships are very important for us because we go to the professional world, we get to know that how they they have been through this process, right? So we get to know that how they deal with things, how they deal with brick projects. So we take things from them, implement it in our project, because we are still at a very grassroots level. We are still trying to improve. So when students join us, he or she gets an opportunity to learn everything from the scratch. And instead of already going to a setup institution where everything is sorted, there are people who's looking after every segment of the work. But when you come to our organization, we are still in a process of building up, and being a part of that would help you to build your own talent or your own skills to communicate with the client, everything.
I think the factor here is freedom to take decisions, to make choices, and to really implement the ideas you have without being scared about the consequences, which you can't normally do in established firms, and you don't get that opportunity to express your ideas that much over there.
Yeah, he's like, basically exploiting the fact of being an amateur, and like, you already know there's nothing to lose, so let's just, you know, take risks.
Yeah, and even if we fall into some traps, then we still have our friends to pick us up and, you know, potentially solve the problem later.
I think that whenever a person works for a so-called established firm in any field, for that matter, let's say it's architecture or engineering, I guess they have been assigned a particular role and some set of rules wherein they have to function. But when a person works for a team like yours, they have a holistic approach to everything, and they can try their hands at different steps of manufacturing or different steps of coming out with the final product.
Yeah, I totally. And I also think that responsibility and ownership comes to the fact here. It's very important to be responsible. And when you go to an institution, an internship or a setup office, you do work responsibly, but then there are people who are responsible for everything. You don't have the ownership of things there, but when you work here, you know that you need to own up to the mistakes you make, right? And if you do mistakes, you have to sort it out yourself. It's not other people who are going to help you. It's your team. You as a team has to figure out how to solve that thing. It adds to the skill set, I guess. Yeah.
Now, as you mentioned of your team, so have there, you know, ever been times where, now since most of you would probably be from the same background, right? Architecture students. So has it ever happened that, you know, like everybody is trying to contribute their creative ideas and it somehow gets difficult to manage and starts getting chaotic? And then, you know, how do you, have there ever been times, you know, where there is a lot of conflict of opinions?
I think it is important to have a dialogue between what's right and what's not. If the main agenda is to contribute to the project in a good way, and if everyone understands that, I think there's no problem. So there haven't been such conflicts where a lot of people are trying to implement their ideas, because everyone understands what is right for the project. And then for the ideas to be right or wrong, it is a different case, because every idea will contribute to something or another in a small way or big way. So there hasn't been any sort of conflicts between the members. Ki mera idea kyun nahi liya, uska kyun liya. The team understands that something is not right and something is right, and then uske basis pe we can develop an idea. Any idea is not final in the first day. Hum log ko thoda usko develop karna padta hai to suit our site and design.
Well, that's interesting.
You guys have a dedicated team wherein a bunch of 3 students, 4 students, let's say, would work for a design or something like that. Do you have a dedicated sections in your team?
So for each project, yes, we have a core team, which is mostly from our class, and there were seniors are there who started this, like who are there from the first project. So we approach the client first, and then when we actually get the project, we have this open discussion where there are different perspectives that that people put out, and a lot of people agree to it, a lot of people disagree to it. So we come up with a collective solution. And then when it's set up, like the designing, we get a rough idea of the concept, what we are going to do there. Again, we talk to the client, we get to know what their perspective is, and then we do divide into different sections where we recognize like there are people who are good at the construction part, there are people who are good with the interaction of the community. So we do set up our a team according to the skill set which they are good at, but also keeping in mind that they can help and they can be a part of other groups also, so that they can also build their abilities of doing other things which they are not good at right now. It's a very coexisting kind of work.
Do the professors and all, they are completely aware and supportive of everything that you're doing?
So what happened was when we first did our when I first with my friends introduced the model to the faculty, they were not willing to take it up in the college projects because the slots were already full. So we were working independently for the first project. So after we finished our first project in Panvel, our principal really appreciated it and took it into the college projects for the next sem. So after that sem, every project had a faculty. So they used to guide us with all the design aspects. And how do you approach?
Do you have like the freedom like you would have without the faculty to put up your ideas and like what comes to your mind first?
Yeah, I don't think it has changed that much. Our faculty doesn't stop us from doing anything as long as it is justified.
Yeah, and I think during the first project it still felt a little bit dicey for everyone because it was our first project. Then after that project, everyone like kind of realized that yeah, it's possible. If even the students take it independently, they are able to do it. And the college realized that it would be beneficial for everyone if they provide us the support and the time slots for doing that. So college has helped us taking Parivartan as our college project. So we got a time slot for doing such stuff. Yeah, and there are projects which are done independently, like completely independent. And when during the college time, college did give us enough time slot to do our projects. Yeah.
So when you like start on a place, a new project, like do you go on to the specific ideas around it, or do you want to go for some special issues which are like uprising right now in the community? And how supportive is the neighboring community to you when you're starting all of that? Like how supportive they are? What is their views when you talk to them, when you ask them anything, if you need at all anything?
So for this, we'll have to look into a project which we did in Shindewadi. It is very close to our college actually. It is called Shindewadi, which is quite ruler in that sense, and most of it is a tribal settlement place where we all have these people who farm. They go to work as construction workers, or they mostly work in factories or urban scenarios, but they live in a tribal settlement. So what we did there was we created workshop spaces for their women and some play spaces for their children. So before we started actually building and constructing the project, we first did a survey of the whole village as to what kind of people they are there, the demographics part of it, what kind of people they work, what is the literacy rate, what is the demographic in terms of how many number of families are there, what is the services provided to them. And then we listed out all these services, and then we came on to our inferences, which were what can be done to solve the problems which existed there. So during the survey, we used to talk a lot with the villagers, understand their problems. And to understand, we really need to be one with them. They must not feel that we are outsiders. They must feel that we must be with them throughout their journey, and then we must really understand their problems. So I think that aspect really helps to make that connect with the villagers, and if that connect is made, then after that the villagers,
that would just help you, right? Yeah, that is what will get you to the next level. If you like know and need, like need of the hour, right? What do they need and what is their the routine and everything, you have to like get used to that also. Like, were they supportive, were they modest to you, or were they like just taking you grantedly, or were they sweet to you? What was their first reaction when you started the survey?
At first, they thought that we are some government officials, and then we want to take them away from
their
land.
They would be a little bit hesitant. Yeah. Okay, that is what they thought.
Yeah. And but once we may build that trust with them, I think they are very supportive. And then there were many instances in which they came forward and helped us in our project. Like they provided all the materials to work, for us to work with. They provided all the bricks or manpower for us.
Oh, that's great. Kids would have been very happy, right? Like seeing all the colors and you seeing your work and everything.
Yeah, that is something which is that's very amazing. Constant. That's like amazing. Every place we go, there are small kids who try to interfere. And
they're very bright. Even if they're like from small rural areas, they're very bright. And they find joy in working with, even if you tell them a task or something like that, they would just do it. They would not think about it and they would just have fun doing it, and watching them do it, it just makes us more enthusiastic. And the time, you cannot even imagine when the time just goes on and you're just working on it and it just finishes also.
Yeah, because for them it is like a very new experience. They haven't seen anything like it before happening in their rural settlements, like some people coming and working for them. So anything which comes up, they look at it as a very interesting opportunity to ponder upon, and then they start playing with us. That has happened in almost every project, I guess.
And yes, and also the fact that they are able to contribute their own skills and their efforts so that they can build up a space for themselves, right? So they can see the end product in front of their eyes every day, gives them that immense pleasure.
Exactly. And one day, once they grow up, they would have that sort of that they would have this word that some people came, or maybe some students came that time when I was a kid.
Just a lasting memory from their childhood.
Exactly. This basic event. But then it would be just like very huge. And we don't even know the
exactly for them it would be an
right
event.
Exactly. And now, even if like for us, like even for Diwali, when we make some forts or something, it's a big event for it. So not just going there and playing in mud. It's just the whole process of making it, then painting it, and then writing about it. It's a whole process. For them, it's like very huge.
Yeah.
How do you select a particular place? Or like, do you have maybe two or three members of your team to search for the places, and then you guys come to like shortlist some places, and then you see what could be what could be like a blank sort of a canvas where you can like put up your ideas?
So when we are selecting the project, it comes very organically, and it every experience is different. So for the first project, we one of the team member got to know about this organization called Team Rainbow, and they helped us find us our first project. And then the second one was similarly, we got it from one of our team member who used to stay near the place, the Shindewadi area, and he knew them personally. He used to talk to them, he grew up there. So it was very organic. After the first two projects, I think everything just fell into place and there were people approaching us. Yes.
Fell into place, exactly.
Yeah, I think we have,
but
now
I think
because of the COVID situation,
it has
fallen
down. Like that.
But before this, we have to understand that there are two types of people who approach us with their projects. There is one who has a real agenda to provide for the community and create good spaces for people who really need it. And there are other kinds of people who do it for their own benefit, like some of them approached us for painting a place where it was a private place. So it doesn't really affect the community in that way. It doesn't really help the community. So we have those kind of people approaching us as well. So we have to be responsible in taking the projects which we think should be important and done for the community. And we must, sort of filter it out before we start doing that.
Yeah, and Rohan, do you remember the project we got for a resort designing or something after our third project?
after we did a project in Nagatpuri, we collaborated with an architecture firm. So we did that in Nagatpuri, Nashik. It was a children's playground. And I think it was an inauguration day where people saw our work. And then someone thought that these are architecture students, so we should give them a project to design a resort, the whole resort, which is almost 1 acre in area. So they thought we could be doing that.
The thing is, we can't legally take the project because we are not registered.
So, don't you think it would be a little bit wild if you like literally took the project?
Yeah.
It would have been like maybe. Okay, so like if you would have like
but
hypothetically,
then again we need to
like
go back
like
to the
you would have aced
right?
it.
Like
what do you think about that?
This association, maybe we would have taken it not in the name of Parivartan, but a group of bunch of friends doing some private project. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not saying officially, but then keeping Parivartan and college aside, what do you think? Like if you would have taken
yeah,
that
yeah,
up,
absolutely.
Wouldn't that be as a push towards what you do want to do in life? If a small part of it is recognized so much, imagine you building up a whole resort, which you're saying up to 1 acre.
That would
just
be like a
leave
huge
a, oh my God, a very, very huge
surreal,
mark. Right?
Okay, like, yeah.
And not even being...
just a surreal movement for an... student who's
it's still a question mark. It's just hypothesis.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, exactly. Even they knew that you were a student.
Is, yeah.
Still, they wanted to approach you is like very huge. For a student, I think it's very huge. Maybe if you're like, think about an architect
yeah.
like who gets a project.
I think we need
project,
to reconsider after
huge,
fifth
then
year.
Then
I think we should take
it
up.
I think it's amazing. You should. Oh my God, you should. If it like, if it's like still there, you should go and grab the opportunity because they would still remember you. Obviously.
Yeah.
And just don't forget us when you
for
do
sure.
that. We would really,
do you have, like,
really
you know,
love
your
some
role models
or
idols whom you follow or look up to?
We don't have any as such. We don't have an idol or inspiration. The only thing which drives us to do what we do is the response we get after completing the project.
Ah,
like
that's
the satisfaction.
Fulfilling, yeah.
Yeah, that is more than enough to start the next projects and be excited about it.
That's interesting.
How long
it
does
depends.
It take for you
again,
to complete
again,
one?
It depends.
It's probably variable.
Yeah, yeah.
Started
like,
for
depends.
Like, does it take a week?
As I mentioned earlier, it's everything is different in different projects. So some of them took a month to complete. Some of them took 3 nights to complete. And there was the first project which took a whole month again to complete. So even...
So you've been doing this
some of them
in,
we did in
college
timing,
right? I mean,
through
like
college,
days,
the
like
college
when
gave
the college
us that
was
to,
still open,
do
right?
the project.
So how
and
did you...
And there were other projects which we did
okay.
during the vacations, the summer vacations we got. Like the first project was done during the summer vacations, then... Our
also
third project,
the,
it was
yeah,
Igatpuri.
Igatpuri.
That was, yeah, that was done during the vacations where we went there. We stayed in that place. We were provided the transport and everything. So that took a month, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right? It took from the designing to the construction, I think it took 1.5 months. It was during Diwali. And we mostly work on weekends.
Yeah.
And weekdays we don't get that much time during for the college projects.
But then as architects you have like you also have your own college projects, right? You still have that all crafts work to do, if I'm not wrong, because everything that you do is just not on the papers. It's like you have to like make it also, if I'm not wrong. I'm really not sure about it, but then I've seen architects and architecture students carry these huge projects and papers and rolled and everything.
That
so how did you make up
make
your time between those projects
is,
and those assignments, like
that was just,
and everything?
Yeah,
and
that was understandable when we first introduced it into the college project. I think that was more or less
inevitable.
People understood that yeah, we have to compromise on our time, and then we are not going to get sleep properly. So yeah, so that was.
Yeah, and I think we as a team selected our projects very smartly, okay? Like, we knew that this can be completed in given time. It's important to be optimistic, to be open to all the opportunities, bigger opportunities you get. But you also need to be smart as a team. That's how we end up gaining more projects and we do complete the project. And I think 6 to 7 projects in 2 years is good enough, given that we also have other things to do, like academics.
Now, as Smriti was saying about, you know, the projects and all, I just want to get into the technical part. Do you use any specific softwares and all for design?
It is, again, variable to the project. Like, for some project, it was a public mural in Artist Village. So we printed a bridge. So for that, our concept was to map out the area of Artist Village onto the bridge so that people could understand what kind of space they live in. So for that, we actually documented the whole of Artist Village in a map, and then we, through softwares, we generated a mural, and then we did that on the bridge.
We plan to keep this team Parivartan exclusively just for architects or architecture students, or like, are you thinking of expanding it in any way? Like, I don't want to put it that
yes,
way,
yes.
But
we have
maybe not being
open
architect,
to everyone, I guess.
Maybe not being architecture students,
and we have received
still might have
from various
amazing ideas,
who work in different
right?
fields, and they really
maybe,
want to
some
join us
tech support.
So I don't see it as a problem. I think they are much more welcome to come and join, as long as they provide ideas. There's always scope for a different perspective. I think it is very important to move ahead as a team, to try and do something differently each time. So yeah.
And yes, as Rohan said, that we do accept all the people from different backgrounds. Because when we started it, the only intention was to provide for the society, right? And we were from architecture backgrounds, so we knew a certain kind of things which would help them to provide, do that. And when people from other backgrounds would join us, it would be a more helpful thing. So yeah, there's no limitation to the ideas we can build together.
Isn't that been this culturally very overwhelming for you guys? Because once you start moving places to places, there's a lot of difference, maybe of cultures, maybe of the way the people talk and how
sure.
it is.
Have
you noticed any cultural differences from all the projects that you've done
to
date?
We have met people, both good and bad. We have had different experiences from which we have learned a lot.
Anybody who's criticized you, like, oh, maybe what are you doing? Like, why aren't you in college? Or why are you spending your time on this?
Kind of comes from your
or anything
home
like that,
also
like
a little bit when they get to know it's not related to academics. And but apart from them, then everyone realizes that, no, it's good. It's really beneficial for everyone. So
what I wanted to ask you next was, what was your recent project, guys? What was your recent last project which you have done?
Last project, what happened was we were actually the core team all had our internship, so we had to go to different places, and the projects, the college, the Parivartan was still a part of college project. So our juniors took a part, and they did a project in Khargar. It was Mahalakshmi Saras Mart. So it was a welfare mart for tribal women, where people, women from tribal areas come and then they sell their products. So we had to basically design a space for them, and how they would sell, maybe majorly increase the footfall of that mart so that people come in, make it an interesting space.
Oh, okay. And what sort of projects are you looking forward to work on once this stupid lockdown situation is done?
I think it is any. We have to first look at the impact it will cause. If it is causing the impact that we want to cause in a good way, I think we'll surely take it up. And what kind of learnings we are getting from the project. Obviously, the financial aspect, the scale, that also comes into the picture.
You see, I have a very interesting concept about how coronavirus or particularly this pandemic is going to affect on real estate or for that matter, any architectural firm. Do you guys think it is going to be a long-term kind of thing wherein we have to consider the factors of social distancing and things like that in coming future when we design a particular building or a mall or something that like that?
Yeah, I think it's very important for us to design things accordingly, but where the space provides, right? Like if there's enough space, we can do that. But then there are other aspects where you can make design, create spaces which is more contactless, when you look at an urban scale, then even without corona, these things are needed. We need better urban planning. We need better transportation. We need better public spaces where people have their own space. Like if you take local train ka example, that's even without corona, that's not ideal. That's still an issue. The places where we can make it spacious, we can bring social distancing, we should make it. It is very important. And the places where we can't, we need to come up with some other ideas. Because as an architect, that's what you do. If you think there's a problem, you solve it.
I'll let you guys know from what perspective I'm asking this question. Let's say we take an example of the ramps which are being introduced in our malls, or we have been designing special sort of washrooms in our malls for differently abled persons. So I guess that idea was not there before, let's say, 50 years. So do you guys think we would have to take into consideration how social distancing norms or how getting sanitized before entering into a public area would affect while we design a mall or while we design a movie theater? Do you think we have to start making those sort of arrangements?
I think change is the only constant, and with architecture changing with time, it has also considered different factors which come up. So architecture changing with the factors which come up, and now that coronavirus has happened, it will obviously affect the architecture which will be built in the future. So if you see, even now people are starting to change the type of spaces which are there in an architecture. So if you see the malls which have opened, have now installed sanitizing booths, or they have now enforced social distancing laws. So when we start implementing it now, I think we'll surely implement when we start building, when we think of designing a new building.
So like these things are going to stay with us for a longer time. Like, I mean, we will have to get used to the fact that we have to pass through a sanitizing booth and then get ourselves checked for any sort of illegal things before entering into an airport or something like that.
Yes, that things I think will be there.
Also, I'll add one more point to this. The reason we are asking this to you guys is before recording a podcast with you, we recorded a podcast with a person who was involved in planting trees and making people understand what sustainable life can look like. So his name was Shriyash, and he was a member of a foundation called Swapnavana Foundation, wherein they...
He's the founder.
Yeah,
I've heard it.
Yeah, so we just want to correlate the fact that how important from your point of view it is to work with nature instead of, eliminating it completely just for, so that you can get some site to work on. How ideal architecture should juggle between those two things?
Yeah, it is always you have to respect the nature around you. Like, that's when the sustainability part of it comes, right? When you take what's important for you and leave the other remaining thing for the future generation.
But at the same time, I want to make this point that working with nature has been a problem all around the globe, right? It's like you are playing with two extremes. Like, either you have forest, or either you have a green cap, or either you have a developed society wherein you have high skyscrapers and things like that, wherein you have a panoramic view of your skyline and things like that. So for that matter, let's say let's take an example of Central Park, right? So New York initially developed as an island, just like Mumbai was. But what the guys did in 1860s or something like that is they suddenly made a plan, like they have to build something like Central Park and develop things around it. So basically, you're grabbing land from the forest and encroaching it to an extent wherein it's no more a forest, it's just a recreational sort of thing. So I guess there has been playing with extremes sort of thing everywhere around the globe. Like, it's not only a problem for Indian society or Indian mindset. But at the same time, I want to ask you, what do you think is the perfect example of existence of synergy between nature and a modern developed architecture, for that matter? I guess the best for me would be the development of Singapore Airport, which has modestly has included wildlife and plants and things like that inside the airport. So what do you guys think is the perfect modern life example of nature existing with development?
Okay, so yeah, as you said, Atharva, that it's not an Indian problem or Indian mentality. It's a part of industrialization that's been happening over the past few decades. So like, I want to talk about this thing where before industrialization was there, there was these tribal communities which was there. The whole aspect of their growth, the way they lived was very different from what we are having right now. For them, the whole life cycle was a circle, but as a society now, we are moving in a linear path. So for them, sustainability was an important aspect. Like the thing they built, it gets destroyed, it goes back to the ground, it doesn't affect the ground. Then again they build, it's a cycle. But in an industrialized world, right, like right now, everything we need to, like, we are trying to grow, and with that pace, with the mentality we have right now, we are not caring, we are taking nature a lot for granted. And in past few years, I think people have been talking about this a lot, and there have been a lot of projects which are coming up, just like Singapore Airport. There have been cities which are trying to make changes.
So do you think we are replicating history in a way wherein we are trying to again move towards sustainability? Do you think that may be back in trend again?
It should be. I personally believe that sustainability shouldn't be an option. It is a way of living. It is the way Earth is supposed, like people are supposed to live. And the past few years, it's not been like that. And we are getting to know that, okay, we are doing something wrong and it is taking a huge toll on our planet.
Okay, I'll let you guys know what sustainability for me is, right? So according to me, when we apply sustainability towards a building or something like that, I see sustainable buildings are that type of buildings which have the capacity to stay upright for a generation of years, over a long period. Like, let's take example of forts which we have in India. Like, they are standing tall, like, for so long. So why do you think buildings, for that matter, or anything like that, is not that sustainable? What difference is it?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, people love to talk about sustainability, right? Like, and it's important to understand the definition of sustainability again. And there's no universal agreed definition on sustainability. And I think, in fact, there are like many viewpoints on it. Okay. And if you like literally look at the word sustainability, it's sustain and able. Like, it's the ability of a structure to be able to sustain in a given situation or be keep up with the given situations. And now, because nowadays the people are talking about these environmental and social problems, the society is facing sustainability is used most in a specific way, more in a nature related way. So I think sustainability, like, can be defined as this process or the actions, like, through which the humankind avoids depletion of total resources to keep an ecological balance. Okay, so and it's important to understand that society should also have a quality of life. It's not pura ye sab chhod do kuch raho hi mat theek se. You need to balance that ecology, and you need to live in a sustainable way. And you need to have a quality life without taking too much from the nature. And the question you talked about, the buildings that they stay for a long time, I need to answer that. When we talk about sustainable architecture, we are also considering the energy saving and everything. Okay. And but ek time ke baad, this building is going to go down, right? And when that's when these materials like steel, cement, it won't mix up with the earth, the mud we have right now. But when we are using the sustainable materials, after so many years, when they go down, when there's a process of recycling which is happening, it's a very natural process that earth has been used to.
So see, when you talk about the materials like the forts, talk about the buildings such as the forts which they have built, which are still standing, you have to consider the materials which they are using. They are using stone, they are using lime mortar to make it stand up. those kind of multitasking.
Time plays a huge role during when we talk about these topics. Like, we can't neglect how much time it took to build a particular
exactly.
fort.
I was coming to that point. So the time it took to build, nowadays the need of the hour is to build it fast and to build it in quantity. So what people are doing,
yeah, and the only size that we can achieve is the Diwali fort that we
and make. What people are doing is they are trying to focus on the materials which allow them to build it fast and build it quantity, build in quantity, such as steel, concrete, which are not bad in that case. If you see the buildings in Ahmedabad, there are various examples of buildings which they have used pure concrete and they are still sustainable. So we need to understand the methodology of how to build with such materials, keeping in mind the sustainability aspect. Nowadays, you see buildings which have all these certificates, no, LEED Platinum certificates of sustainability. They
right. During, you know, I came across this term during finding what exactly architecture students do. I came across one architect, I guess Zaha Hadid or someone like that, who has been awarded most number of these certificates wherein the products which she has developed are sustainable or something like that. I exactly can't remember, but I came across this term.
So nowadays what they're trying to do is every building is trying to get these certificates to prove that Baba, we are sustainable. But the real concern is that are they really sustainable in that way? Do the government which have these norms, do these norms define sustainability, which is true? So we have to understand what really sustainability is. We have to understand the energy savings. We have to understand the context around it, if it is affecting the environment or not. So only norms will not decide if the government, if the building is sustainable or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the materials he talked about, Rohan, like how cement is also a very important material of industry, okay? Like all the tall rise buildings can't be made out of mud, like the 24, 29 floor building can't be made out of mud. That's when the steel and cement are very important. But then the other aspects of sustainability comes, where there's natural lighting, this all those are energy saving methods. Why would someone just make buildings where there's no light coming in the daytime and you have to switch on the light the whole day? So there are different aspects of sustainability which comes.
So like, are you guys saying if given a proper amount of resources, proper amount of money is being provided, proper amount of time is being provided, architectural marvels from our nation as well be as sustainable as we have been seeing something which is built in Paris, some sort of museums which are being built in UK or something like that?
The sustainable architecture has always been a part of buildings in India, of structures in India. I'll again give you an example of Ahmedabad, where there have been various buildings which are sustainable, which are of pure exposed concrete. And they have showed characteristics in terms of space, in terms of lighting, in terms of energy savings and consumption, which prove that they are more sustainable. And they don't have the ratings and the LEED Platinum certificate, which you all have, but they are still more sustainable. So we need to understand the basic principles which make these buildings sustainable. We have to take examples from our country only. And yeah, so I'll again go to the example of Ahmedabad. So if you see the buildings there are of pure exposed concrete and they still are sustainable. Like the Mill Owners building in Ahmedabad, the SEPT University. So these such of buildings use sustainability in terms of space, energy savings, daylight. And it also, we have to consider such buildings as an example. So while designing, they don't have LEED or Platinum rating certificates, but they still are sustainable. So we have to take examples from our country only, because for foreign, other countries, they don't have atmospheric or environmental conditions which are similar to our country. So there are examples of good buildings in India. I think we can very well take inspiration from there and build for our.
Actually, a few years back, I heard this news that there was a bridge built by the British. And they exactly know that there would be a time where the bridge would obviously need some maintenance and everything. So these people had an idea that up to maybe 2014, 15, maybe, I don't know. I don't remember the exact date. They knew that the bridge would need maintenance and everything. So they had a letter sent from England to India that there was this bridge that we built in this particular area. And it might maybe collapse or maybe might need maintenance in this particular area. So this was their thought process when they built something in that period. Even today, when you go to Mumbai, a lot of buildings, a lot of structures that the British built with maybe just wood, if you see, just wood. And maybe primary materials that are like very easily available to us right now. So they're still like standing strong. And they I don't think like they're collapsing anytime
soon.
Yeah,
again, to give an example of the Watson Hotel in Mumbai, now it is on the verge of collapsing, but that stood for so many years. It is purely made of steel. So even in that time, they have used such resources, which we now think are not good for sustainability, but they have proved to be sustainable. It all depends upon the way of how we are constructing it and what kind of our idea is of sustainability.
And then I want to confuse you guys more about sustainability, giving the example of plastic, okay? Like, do you remember when we were in our first grade or second grade, these plastic were actually advertised as something which is stopping the deforestation and stuff. Like, there were plastic materials coming up, so there weren't enough wood that was supposed to be used for these materials. So it was portrayed as something that is actually helping the nature, because not a lot of wood was being cut and everything. But now when you look at it, that wasn't the exact case. But back then, back 10 years back, it was actually, if you think of it, yeah, it actually stopped a lot of wood cutting and stuff, right? So it's a very broad topic if you talk about it. Okay, blame me for confusing you guys more.
I guess like most of our queries about sustainability have, you know, pretty much been solved. And instead, I guess we have, you know, been briefed more about it. So like a very genuine thanks to Rohan and Anurup. Atharva Smithy, do you have anything more to ask?
I think this has been a great session and I enjoyed it a lot. But then this has been amazing. Honestly, we had so much fun. I hope you guys also had fun.
Yes, man. Thanks. Hello, Serpents, for having us.
I just want to add that these guys are doing projects which are which could have been easily done by any other person or any other group as well. But the fact that they are doing it proactively and trying to make a difference in our society is a really good initiative which the guys have taken. I hope they continue doing such projects in future as well once they get out of 5-year-long architectural degree and they continue these sort of projects. Best of luck from my side, guys.
Thank you, man.